Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1997. The Looting of America.
Hello. One of the more interesting aspects of the ongoing saga of illegal campaign contributions and money laundering in the Clinton administration is the Asian connection. A temple full of Buddhist nuns who cannot speak English, but who have handy checkbooks. Clinton buddy Johnny Huang and other assorted Chinese and Indonesian gangsters, bankers, and wheeler dealers seem to have played a major role in getting the Democrats back in the White House. Some of the things that went on in the campaign to raise money for Mr. Clinton's re-election are so outrageous that they're funny, not to mention criminal. All of this would provide a basis for a good comedy film, if the Jews who run Hollywood were interested in that sort of thing. What's not so funny about the Clinton administration's Asian connection is the payoff to the Asian community in the form of government contracts. From a strictly technical viewpoint, this payoff probably would be considered legal because it falls under an affirmative action policy known as the Section 8A Minority Business Set-Aside. Under this policy, government contracts, instead of being awarded to the lowest bidder in a competitive bidding process, are set aside to be awarded to non-white businessmen and to companies owned by non-whites. The theoretical justification for this program used to be that it would pump money into black ghettos by giving government contracts to black entrepreneurs who in turn would hire black workers, and the chance of black rioting would thereby be minimized. Asians, like all other non-whites, of course, also are able to qualify for 8A set-asides, and the numbers doing so have risen spectacularly during the past few years. In New York City, for example, Asians currently are grabbing 64.1% of the minority set-aside contracts. That's up from just 3.5% a decade ago. Imagine that, up by a factor of nearly 20. Isn't it an amazing coincidence that so much Asian money found its way into Mr. Clinton's campaign fund while the amount of government money going to Asian businessmen was rising so rapidly? The figures elsewhere in the country are not all that different from those in New York. In Alabama, for example, in the middle of the Black Belt, Asians got 46.3% of the minority set-aside contracts last year. The figure a decade ago was just 2.6%. Not surprisingly, the Clinton administration is fighting desperately to keep the 8A minority set-aside program alive in the face of opposition from the majority of Americans who want to do away with all affirmative action programs. Actually, the recent Asian takeover of the 8A set-aside program is a good thing for white Americans. Before the Asians made their move, 8A set-asides were just another taxpayer handout to blacks in order to keep them from making too much trouble. When the Chinese and the Koreans and the Vietnamese got into the racket, though, they applied intelligence to it, which the blacks simply don't have. They figured ways to milk the program for more money than the blacks had ever dreamed of. The 8A set-aside program has produced a new class of Asian multimillionaires, who in turn have been generous contributors to Mr. Clinton and the Democratic Party. We, the taxpayers, of course, are paying for the whole crooked business. But now, thanks to the excessive cleverness of the Asians and the excessive greed of the Clintonistas, it has become such a stinking scandal that we have a reasonable chance of seeing the whole thing exposed in a way which will deal a major setback to all of those who want to keep affirmative action programs alive. That's why it's good that the Asians have elbowed aside the blacks and taken over the 8A set-aside swindle. The blacks never would have figured out in a million years how to use an affirmative action program to buy massive political influence the way the Asians have. And exploiting affirmative action isn't the only thing Asian immigrants have figured out how to do. They've also learned how to cheat government welfare programs in new and creative ways. As younger Chinese immigrants have prospered from 8A set-asides, they have brought their parents and their grandparents over from China, put them in government-subsidized apartments, and then signed them up for every welfare program available, including supplementary security income. Hundreds of thousands of elderly Chinese and other Asians who have never worked a day in the United States and cannot even speak English are now living very comfortably off the American taxpayers, while their well-to-do children who brought them over continue to get even richer from various government programs favoring non-whites. The latest figures from the U.S. Census Bureau are from 1990, and they show elderly Chinese immigrants in California receiving supplementary security income at more than five times the rate for elderly native-born Americans. And blacks are included among those elderly native-born Americans. And although we don't have figures later than those for 1990, it is quite certain that the disproportion has become substantially greater since then, because the immigration of elderly Chinese has been booming. The word is out all over Asia that the United States is the land of free money for elderly Asians. And most of this Asian welfare racket is illegal. In order to get their parents and grandparents into the country, the children sign papers pledging to be financially responsible for them. But after their parents and grandparents are in, the younger Asians ignore those pledges and put their relatives on welfare. Don't hold your breath waiting for the Clinton government to crack down on these Asian welfare cheats. The people in the government know what's going on. They know that this racket is costing white taxpayers billions of dollars every year. But there's no chance at all of any of these Asians being called to account. The Democrats have developed a very cozy relationship with Asian immigrants, and they're not about to spoil it. The really bad thing about all of this is that as Asians have mastered the technique of milking the U.S. Treasury, more and more of them have come flooding into the country. A few years ago, we had a very small Japanese minority on the West Coast and a few Chinatowns in major cities, and that was about it. Now Asians have become a fast-growing minority all across the country, and their presence is becoming increasingly intrusive and disruptive. Unfortunately, many of our people, especially those with libertarian or individualist tendencies, have been slow to understand this threat. They see Asians as intelligent, hard-working, and much better disciplined than blacks. They feel that if they must have a non-white neighbor or co-worker or fellow student, it's much better to have an Asian than a black or a mestizo. This is a very short-sighted and selfish view of the situation. For one thing, as the number of Asians flooding to our shores has grown, more and more of their bad habits have begun coming with them. Asian crime and Asian gangs, for example. As I mentioned on an earlier program, despite what many people may believe, Asians are not especially law-abiding. The Asian minority in America commits substantially more murders on a per capita basis than the white majority. And they are even better represented among white-collar criminals. They have a way with money. It is not for nothing that the Chinese are known as the Jews of the Orient, wherever they have settled as a significant minority. For another thing, it is precisely the good habits of the Asian immigrants, their intelligence, their self-discipline and willingness to work, which make them an especially dangerous minority for us. I know that there are many white Americans with a Pollyanna outlook on Asian immigration. They believe that Asian immigrants will simply blend in and use their good traits to make this a more prosperous country for all of us. They believe that after Asians have lived here for a while, they will become just like white Americans, except they will keep their lawns neater and their kids will make better grades in school. Hey, wake up! Just because white Americans have fallen for the line of egalitarian baloney put out by the controlled media and the government that people of all races really are the same doesn't mean that the Chinese and the other Asian immigrants have fallen for it. In fact, one of the really admirable things about the Chinese and the Japanese, for example, is their very strong sense of race consciousness. They do have pride in their own racial characteristics, in their history and traditions and culture, in their uniqueness. And they do understand the value of cooperation with their own kind and of sticking together. And as their numbers grow, they will become an increasingly formidable force we will have to deal with. We don't want America to become more like China or any of the other countries Asian immigrants have come from. We want them to take their intelligence, their self-discipline, and good work habits back where they came from. We'd much rather deal with these people from a distance. I've briefly mentioned three things today. Political corruption, as manifested in Mr. Clinton's Asian connection, the exploitation of the government's various minority-oriented welfare giveaway and affirmative action programs by Asians, and the problem of skyrocketing Asian immigration and the effects it is having on American society. I've tried to bring out some of the interconnections of these three problems. And of course, each of these problems is part of a larger problem, the illegal campaign contributions and money laundering associated with Mr. Clinton's reelection are part of the much larger problem of the growing crookedness of the politicians in this country, the growing corruption of the system generally, the Asian manipulation of the 8A minority set-aside program is just one aspect of the rottenness and inappropriateness of welfare programs generally. And the recent growth in Asian immigration is just part of the much larger problem of the non-white immigration which is changing the nature of America. Now, an interesting thing about these three problems is that they are generally recognized by the American people, not just by extremists like me. Most Americans have a general awareness of the growing corruption of the government, even if they haven't tried to figure out the details. Most Americans have a growing distrust of the government, a growing disgust with the political process. We can see this just in the growth in the percentage of Americans who decline to vote. They're fed up with the whole business. People are fed up with government welfare programs too. At least white people are fed up. You know, welfare used to be a community thing. People used to help each other out. Even the ne'er-do-wells could count on a handout from the churches. Even the village idiot could count on some charity from other villagers. But there was no pretense that the ne'er-do-wells and the village idiot were respectable citizens with the rights and privileges of other citizens, or that they were entitled to their handouts. They were tolerated, but not to the point that anyone would be inclined to join their ranks. Welfare was kept to a minimum, and that's the way it should have been. Today, in the hands of the government, the welfare system has become a socially destructive monster. We have a large and growing class of people in America who believe that they are entitled to a handout, they believe that the rest of us owe it to them. Having to support this welfare class with our taxes is increasingly galling to working Americans. And very few of us are fooled by the government's periodic announcements of so-called welfare reform. It has been those aspects of the government's welfare system which are specifically anti-white, such as affirmative action, which have generated the most public dissent recently. But the truth of the matter is that the entire welfare system, not just those aspects of it which are aimed at giving non-whites special advantages, has become a thorn in our side. People are fed up with the whole thing. And immigration is another issue on which the position of the great majority of the people is far away from the position of the government. The people are very worried about what continued non-white immigration is doing to America. They see more and more Asians, more and more Mexicans, more and more non-whites of all kinds around them. They see their neighborhoods changing, their cities changing, their schools changing, becoming more alien, more foreign, more non-white. And they don't like it. The government tells us that we should like it, that we're racists if we don't like it, that we need more diversity, and they keep the floodgates open. You know what all of this amounts to? You know what all of this government corruption and welfare racketeering and non-white immigration means? It means the looting of America by greedy predators. It means the plundering of our heritage and our children's heritage by hungry predators. Our ancestors came over here from Europe with a more or less healthy and realistic attitude toward the world. They were race conscious. They understood that the strong survive and the weak perish, and they didn't favor institutions to promote weakness. They conquered this continent, and it is ours by right of conquest. Our ancestors understood that we had to remain strong and vigilant if we wanted to remain masters in our land. But we didn't. We didn't. We became soft and weak. We became inattentive. We let ourselves be confused about race, about our heritage, about the nature of the world we live in. We dropped our guard. And then the predators moved in and went to work. They saw that we were soft and vulnerable, but they realized that we could still become dangerous if we realized our situation and began taking steps to regain our strength. So they did everything they could to make us even weaker while they strengthened their own positions. They preached to us against racism, so that we would not unite on the basis of our racial roots. They encouraged immigration from the non-white world in order to dilute our political strength. They bought the support of non-white minorities and of the dregs of our own people with a growing government welfare program. And now the feeding frenzy has begun. The word is out around the world. Whitey has become soft. The gringos are ripe for the plucking. The honkies are on the run, too confused to understand what's happening and too stricken by a sense of racial guilt to fight back. In China, in the Philippines, in Vietnam, in Haiti, in El Salvador and Nicaragua, they watch what's happening in America and they can hardly believe their eyes. The white man has become crazy. He is giving everything away. They think there's free money for us in America, and the white man won't even try to keep us out. And if he does try, his government will be on our side, not his. And so, as I said, the feeding frenzy has begun. And the renegade whites have joined the plunderers. People like Bill Clinton, and for that matter, practically all of the politicians, Republican as well as Democrat. Instead of trying to defend America from the plunderers, have been trying to grab as big a share of the plunder for themselves as they can. And so, where does that leave us, the people who are being plundered? What can we do to protect ourselves? Is there any chance that we can preserve part of our heritage for our children? Actually, I believe there is a chance. The fact that so many Americans are fed up with the government gives me hope. The fact that so many Americans are willing to oppose the government's policies on affirmative action and open-door immigration, even at the risk of being labeled racists by the controlled media, gives me hope. Of course, it'll be a while yet before we'll be able to do what needs to be done. It'll be a while before we'll be able to drag anyone out of the White House and string him up from a lamppost on Pennsylvania Avenue. It'll be a while yet before we can sow landmines along our border with Mexico and begin rounding up Chinese immigrants in California and packing them aboard ships headed west. But the time for that is coming. And the more politicians who join Bill Clinton in the Washington feeding frenzy, the more Democrats and Republicans who begin grabbing for everything they can get while the getting is still good, the sooner will we be able to do what needs to be done. Thanks for being with me again today.